Welcome to the Christmas season with a brand new series called The Greatest Gift. I'm excited that you're joining us today. And my prayer for you is that you can see the miraculous, not just in this season, but in the Christmas story. You know, Christmas really is all about expectation. And it's a season of expectation and miracles. And even people who are far from God, they kind of think that way because we've been programmed to with every Christmas program, every Christmas movie, the Christmas season, we're full of good cheer and giving gifts to one another. But where is that rooted? Where is that truly found? It is found in the greatest miracle. The miracle of God's love for us, so much so that he sent his own son, that if we just believe in him, we're not going to be affected by the curse of sin, but we'll have eternal life, but it begins right now. And this is such a season of expectation. I remember as a kid, I wanted one thing for years. I wanted a dirt bike. From a little kid, my mom always said, and I remember clearly, from the time I could walk, I was on wheels. Skateboards, the little thing first that started with a little thing where you scoot around on your feet. My mom said I was like a stuntman on that. And then I moved to a little tiny skateboard with a little stick handle. And then I moved to a real skateboard and then bikes by the time I was three. And by the time I was five, I was begging for a dirt bike. And I wanted one, and I kept picturing one, but I always thought that, like, you know, mom and dad, they're expensive, they're not going to get it, like, they're dangerous, that's what mom says. And yet, I remember at 11 years old, Christmas morning, that I got a gift about this big, and I opened it up, and it was this big, funky-looking helmet. I didn't know what that meant because it was weird, and I'd never seen a helmet like that, you know, in person, and it was kind of heavy. And my dad said, well, why don't you go outside? And I just, like it was yesterday at 11 years old, walking out of the back door into the carport, and you had to turn, and then there was the carport. And I remember seeing a dirt bike. And it was mine. And it blew me away. Like, I still look back on that as such a tremendous blessing because though I wanted it, I didn't know that I would ever get it because I didn't think that, you know, it was expensive. And I don't, even as a kid going, I don't know that I can get that. Can I really have a dirt bike? Let me just tell you, what God has in store for you, you can have. You can because he's called you your own. He's waiting for you to recognize that. I want you to know that and to know that and hear that you are God's child and he loves you and he has given you the greatest gift and it's about a billion times better than a dirt bike. So we're going to look back at the beginning of this story with Mary and Joseph. It's the Christmas story. Before Jesus is ever born, before God ever squeezes himself into this earth suit, it's the story of Mary and Joseph. And the faith and expectation that they had in God's goodness. So let's read Luke chapter 1, verses 26. We'll start there. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, this was Mary's cousin, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appeared to her and said, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. This is the beginning of the greatest miracle ever. And here's what I want us to look at today. The making of a miracle. There are three things that are necessary to see an unbelievable miracle of God. Here's the first one. Every miracle, number one, begins with a need. But a need that only God can meet. And here's the need that the world needed and needs today. to know that there is redemption from the curse of sin, that we don't have to live broken, that there is a Savior that redeems, there is salvation, that we can be right with God, we can be right with people, and we don't have to live in the place where we know in our hearts that we want to be good, but we're not, and that sin is what curses us and leads us to the place of death. It's never been God's heart. I want you to know this, that every miracle begins with a need, a God need, where we need Him. And here's what we see, this unbelievable need. This is the first point. Like, where is your point of need that only God can meet? For all of us, and this is why it's the greatest miracle, because there is something that all of us need. Life. The reality is that this body is going to pass away. But this is not who we are. This is just a temporary Corinthians, Paul writes, it's a tent, an earthly tent. Like, this is just an earth suit. It's not the essence of who you are, because you were created as spirit. But the curse of sin does this. Like, you want to be good. You try to be good. But in the end, you always do something wrong. That's sin. You know, I never had to teach my children how to lie or hit each other or cheat. They just did it. Even though they were great kids and are great kids, as little bitty tykes, like, I didn't have to teach them how to lie. They just did it because there's something inside of us that has a tendency, a propensity, we will sin. Here's why. Because God didn't send Jesus into the world to make bad people good. He sent Jesus in the world to make dead people come to life. And this gift, this need that everybody has, is to go from spiritual death to spiritual life. Just like God created Adam and He breathed the breath of life into him. When you come to the place where you know that you need that life in you, and you have this revelation that Jesus paid the price for your sin, He paid the penalty, He took death for you, and you go, I get it. It's a light bulb moment. It's the beginning of God to breathe His breath of life into you, and it is awesome and amazing. And it doesn't just redeem us from the curse of sin, it puts us in a right relationship with God where we can hear His whispers into our heart and soul. And He begins to tell us who He is. And honestly, just as important, He tells us who we are, that we're His child, that we're loved, that we're blessed. I'm telling you right now, this is resonating with you, and you know you need to hear that. And not just hear it, but be able to receive it in truth. It is one thing to hear about Jesus. It is another to receive that in truth, that I'm loved, you're loved, that you're redeemed, that God doesn't see you through the lens of all your sin and junk. Jesus paid the price for that. He's waiting for you to receive that. Jesus, I love you. I know you. I'm loved. This is the miracle that we all need. We all have that need. Jesus fills it. This story out of Luke is about the angel Gabriel being sent by God the Father to speak to this young teenage girl. I'm going to use you. You're great. You're blessed. He speaks to us today in our need. We're loved. We're called. Every miracle begins with a need. This season in Christmas, I really believe people are more open to that because they want to believe the good. You can want to believe the good but still operate in the bad. But something happens when you receive the author of everything that is good and perfect and beautiful, the creator of light who blasts out the darkness in our soul. We need that. Every miracle begins with a God need. But here's the second thing that I really want you to get. Every miracle continues through us in three primary ways. Here's how the miracle begins with God, but it continues with us, like through us, in us and through us. But how? Here's three simple things how. Number one, that means that we have to embrace His promises. Isaiah 9:2 says, the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. Wow. That's huge. Have you ever walked in darkness? Have you ever been caught in the darkness of sin? I bet you have. I have. But he says the people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. Here's the promise that you have to embrace, that God takes you from darkness to light. But that's not it. It's the promise that we have to believe when God speaks to us like he did Mary, where he says, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Don't be afraid." And then he tells her that she's going to have a baby. Okay, context is key. It always is. Mary was living in a society where women were looked down upon. Mary was also living in a society where adultery, sex outside of marriage, fornication or adultery, was punishable by death. And God spoke to her and said, "You're going to have a baby." This is not a good thing for her. It says, God speaks to her and says, "Favored woman," and the Lord is with you. And then it says she's confused and she's disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. This is verse 30 now. "Don't be afraid. You've found favor with God. You'll conceive, give birth to a son. You'll name him Jesus. He'll be very great, be called the Son of the Most High. He's going to reign forever. His kingdom will never end." All of these are good things. But Mary had to be willing to embrace a promise that didn't make sense to her in that moment. And when you are in the place of darkness, it is very difficult to believe that God finds you as a favored child, but he does. And he'll speak that to you. He'll call you into the place of light and he'll tell you who you are. You have to be willing to embrace the promises of God. And so my prayer for you is that you know that miracles, yes, we all, it's easy to know a miracle begins with a need, but a God need that only he can meet. But it continues through us when we begin to believe the truth that he's spoken rather than think that that's not for me. Let's embrace his promises. Here's the second thing. We have to understand his timing. God is a master of timing, but it seems, at least for me, to never align with my timing. Like, I have plans of how things should go. God, it would be great if you showed up here. Like, he seldom does, but he always shows up at the right time. I just never see it until after it's happened. Such is the case with Mary. You're going to have a child. "I'm not married." That's a problem. Look at verse 34. Mary asked the angel after he says, "You're going to have a child. It's going to be Jesus. He's going to be the Son of the Most High." Mary asked the angel, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." This is a rational, good question. How can I have a baby when I am a virgin? How can this happen? But we have to understand God's timing is not ours. And that if we're looking for a supernatural miracle, it happens in supernatural ways. And we should be willing, we have to be willing to trust what God is speaking to us. Sometimes he'll speak things that seem like they're out of order, like that this should go here and this should go here. Now we have the correct timeline because we like things in our timeline, here to here to here to here. But God isn't like that and he messes things up and brings them around. Why? So the only explanation is his. So many people fail to see the miracles of God in their life because they demand it on their timeline. I've heard many people say, I don't like this saying, "God's seldom early, but he's never late." He seems to us oftentimes like he's an out-of-time God. Like there's no more time. But he always comes in and turns things around. The miracle continues when we have faith, faith to trust him, embrace his promises, understand his timing. Look at verse 37. When she says, like, "How can this happen? I'm a virgin." This is the answer. Nothing, Gabriel answers, "For nothing is impossible with God." Nothing's impossible with God. Interestingly enough, today I got word that a good friend who has tried for years and years and years and years and years to have a child, never has. Today, got the word, "I'm pregnant." My prayer for you is that you can trust God and His timing. Don't shortcut the miracle because you try to make it happen. Don't try to make it happen. Just take your hands off. And just, this is how Mary responds. She's like, how's that going to happen? I'm a virgin. And you're saying I'm going to have a kid. Not married, virgin, not going to mess that up. So where are you at, God? And His response is, for nothing's impossible with God. Look at verse 38. This is so key because here's the third thing, and it continuing with us. If it's going to continue with us, we have to embrace His promises. We have to understand His timing. But here's the thing. We have to trust His word. Nothing's impossible, Mary. He doesn't go back and say, listen up, I already told you what's going to happen. I'm the messenger of God. Like, who are you? You some little teenage girl, you think you know better. I'm a virgin. Well, guess what? God's bigger than that. He doesn't do that. He doesn't bust your chops. He simply says, nothing's impossible with God. He reminded her of the truth that God is big. But Mary's response, so epic. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. And then the angel left her because she trusted the word of the Lord. So many people shortcut miracles. They have a God need, a need that only He can meet. They need a miracle. But we have to embrace His promises, not try to arrange the timeline and what we think it should be. And then just trust what God has spoken to us. It's going to happen. Here's the third thing about every miracle. Every miracle begins with a God need. It begins with a need that only God can fix. It continues with us as we embrace His promises. Don't try and fix the timeline. And we trust God's word. But here's the third thing. God's miracle always ends in transformation. Transformation for us and the world around us. And we have to know that. So if we work backwards from the place of a miracle, like we see the transformation, like we want transformation. That's what the need's all about. The need, like the need over here, like the need's over here. Like this is saying there's something that needs to be changed, something that needs to be transformed. And we have to know that every miracle ends in transformation, but the middle of it is so key in embracing promises, understanding God's timeline is not ours and trusting His word. And so when we go back to this third part, if the first was a God need, like there's a need, something needs changing, transformation, there's the us that is the key to that. Lord, I'm going to embrace that promise. I'm going to trust you. I'm not going to try and fix the timeline. But we have to know that every miracle ends in transformation. When we know what the end is, God's end is transformation. Here's what it does in us. It builds a spirit of expectation. Expectation. What do you expect from God? Boy, this is so key on that number two point, isn't it? Embracing His promises, knowing His timing, trusting His word. Because if you have problems over here on this third step, what a miracle, what it takes for a miracle, God need us, like continues with us, but it ends in transformation. Like it's easy to focus on the God need. And it's easy to see, man, transformation can happen. Get this down. And you know you're getting it down when you're able to look to the future with hopeful, life-giving expectation. Expect God to show up. I'm just reading my notes at this point. Expect God to show up. This is faith. Expect God to use people. Listen to me. God uses people to accomplish His will, and He will use people around you to accomplish His will in your life because His goal is transformation over here in you. But ultimately, the bigger goal is for you to be able to be used by God to bring transformation to your world right around you that affects other people. And then always expect the unexpected. Listen to me clearly. Miracles do not happen like you think. They just don't. I've been the recipient of quite a few miracles. They just don't work out like you think. They always work out for the best, but it doesn't work out like you think. So expect the unexpected. Transformation happens, but it's even God says, my ways aren't your ways. My thoughts aren't your thoughts. And so we have thoughts about like, here's the thing that, here's the need. And we have thoughts about what that transformation should look like. Let me just help you. Throw that away. Let God do His thing. I never thought I'd end up with Lake Charles. I never thought I'd end up married to my wife. All of these are miracles. It's transformation that's taken place because of all that. But listen to me, it's not what we think. And I'm going to end with this, 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says this, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. We want this to be made new over here. It is Jesus who brings that transformation. God, transformations come through him. And my prayer for you is that you recognize that the greatest gift is the gift of life through Jesus. Man, the older I get, the longer I'm following him, the more intentional I have to be, but the more aware I am is how much we need him in our life. And maybe that's you today. You've got a need. Jesus will answer. And it's Philippians 4:19. It says this in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all of your needs according to his riches and glory. And God will meet your need. Probably won't be in the way that you expect. It might not even be what you expect. But when you say, look, it says this, if anyone is in Christ or a new creation, the old things have passed away. Behold, all things have been made new. You have to be willing to give all. You can't hold on. What's that one thing you need to let go? Say, Jesus, here it is. Do that now. Just pray with me. Father, I surrender my heart, my life, all of me to you. I receive your gift of life. I receive your forgiveness. Cleanse me, Jesus. I'm following you. Make me new. In your name, Jesus, amen. Listen, if you did that, how awesome. I'm excited for you. I want to see you grow in your walk with God. So click on the link in the chat beneath. Let us know what God's doing in your life so we can connect you into relationship and with resources that can help you grow. Love you guys. Praying for you. Look forward to seeing you again. God bless.